So, yes, the first reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we open your word today, may we both seek and find your true wisdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I wonder what your favourite genre of book may be. Where do you make a beeline for when you go to the library or Waterstones or the Oxfam shop? Some people love fiction. They read a lot of novels. Others head for biography or history or travel. For many years, my wife Sue had a favourite genre. It was crime fiction. She read and actually possessed at one time every single book which Agatha Christie ever wrote, and that was quite a number. She also read P.D. James and Ruth Rendell, all about murders. And I began to wonder, actually, after a while, just what Sue was planning. Happily, it turned out that she wasn't planning the perfect murder. It was just that that was her favourite genre of book. Well, our reading this morning leaves us in no doubt about the favourite genre of the great King Solomon. Right at the start of the book of Proverbs, we're told this: the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. So for King Solomon, top of the list was wisdom, what we call wisdom literature, books about wisdom. And Solomon was a great collector, and amongst other things, he collected proverbs. We're told in the fourth chapter of the first book of Kings that he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So what we've got here in the book of Proverbs, although there are many, many of them, is just a small section of his collection of proverbs. But somehow the Spirit of God inspired him to collect these particular ones for our benefit. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a selection of the proverbs in this book. And we're going to be seeing God's wisdom unrolling in front of us. What a privilege that will be. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is the flagship book of wisdom in the Old Testament. But it isn't the only book which really is entirely about that great subject. The next book is the book of Ecclesiastes. Quite mysterious who wrote that. It seems to be hinting that it might have been Solomon, but there are things that weigh against that. But Solomon clearly was the model for that book. And it's a more somber book than the book of Proverbs. And perhaps Solomon was looking back as an old man at some of the bitter mistakes that he had made in his quest for wisdom. And then there's the Song of Songs, all sometimes called the Song of Solomon, which is much more romantic. As you know, it's all about romantic love. Once again, Solomon knew all about that. But it is urging us to be wise in that area of our lives too. So Solomon loved books about wisdom. But those three books are by no means the only books in the Old Testament about wisdom. Take the book of Job, for example. The book of Job, one of the oldest books in the Old Testament, predates Solomon, goes back a long, long, long way. And yet it really is a search for deep wisdom, for understanding, asking difficult questions to which only the wisdom of God could possibly know the answer. And this quest for wisdom, this spirit-inspired search for the wisdom of God, is going on throughout the Old Testament. It's like the sort of golden thread running right through. In the history and the faith of God's Old Testament people, in their psalms, in their worship, and in the words of their prophets. At their best, they knew that what they needed was God's true wisdom. But they had to wait. They had to wait until Jesus came. God met that need for wisdom by sending his Son. Jesus is the wisdom of God made flesh. And we'll hear more about that, I'm sure, next week. Jesus taught wisdom. His teaching was very much like the teaching of Solomon, only perfect. Jesus used parables like Solomon did, but unlike Solomon or anyone else, he always lived wisely. He always spoke wisely. He always acted wisely. And so in Jesus' mission and his ministry, and especially in his death and resurrection, we see the heart of the wisdom of Almighty God. So what the Old Testament promised, the New Testament delivered. The whole Bible is about true wisdom. That's why, as I'm sure you've heard before, at her coronation, Queen Elizabeth II was handed a Bible with these words: "Take this book. This is the most precious thing this earth affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." And so, our first point here, as we begin to approach this great book of Proverbs, is that the Bible is the book of God's wisdom. That's why it's wise for us to read our Bibles regularly, and I'm sure you do. That's why it's such a privilege to belong to a church based on the Bible, teaching the Bible, valuing the Bible above all. Because the Bible is the only place where we reliably find true wisdom. We won't reliably find it in our morning newspaper, if we still read one. We won't reliably find it on the TV, even the BBC. Won't always bring you wisdom. We certainly won't find it on social media. I'm tempted to say, not social media, least of all, except I don't really understand social media. But I doubt there's much wisdom in Twitter. No, true wisdom is found in the Bible, because the Bible points to Jesus. Now, the Bible's not always an easy book to read, of course. So how do we find true wisdom in it? Well, Jesus gave us a very precious promise, a promise he made to all his followers. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So in other words, if you really want that true wisdom that is contained in the Bible, ask for it. Ask God for it. Seek it persistently. And Jesus will keep his promise. Because true wisdom is never a matter of intelligence or education. It's not something that we acquire just by growing old. Far from it. If we ask in faith, we will certainly receive it, whatever our age, whatever our stage. That wisdom is available to all who want it. And so King Solomon urged all his readers to seek that true wisdom. And he urged them to do so because of all the many benefits it brings. And that's our second point, the benefits of true wisdom. And we find those, some of those outlined in the next few verses of our reading. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. And now what we'll find as we look at extracts from this book over the next few weeks is that in many ways Proverbs is an intensely practical book. Proverbs is useful for everyone, whatever their station in life. So there's wisdom here for kings. After all, it is a book collected by a king, but there's wisdom also for ordinary people, for rich and for poor, for young and for old, for husbands and wives, for mothers and fathers, for children, for sons and daughters. The benefits of true wisdom are for all, and it covers a wide range of subjects, of themes, of important issues in this life. Issues to do with money, relationships, work, justice. It covers the whole spectrum of human life. And that's why there are so many different words for wisdom. In this introduction, you may have noticed I counted at least 8: instruction, insight, understanding, prudence, knowledge, discretion, learning, guidance. Now, we could do a word study on each one of those words. We're not going to. But just looking at two of them, two key ones repeated later in our reading. Take knowledge, for example. Now, in the Bible, knowledge is never just bare facts. It's a bit like, I don't know whether you remember French at school, but I vaguely remember there are two French verbs for to know. Do you remember that? There's savoir, We sometimes use it in the phrase savoir-faire, which means knowing what to do. It also means knowing the truth. That's savoir. And then there's connectra, which means to know a person or a personal relationship with someone. That's connectra. And the great thing about Bible wisdom, Bible knowledge, is it combines those two things. So Bible knowledge is the knowledge of truth and how to apply it in your life. But it's also the knowledge of a person. It's the knowledge of Almighty God. A very, very precious aspect of biblical wisdom. And then what about instruction? Well, instruction is something we all need because it's the passing on of true wisdom. You see, none of us are born wise. And there's no other way we can acquire it. We need to be taught. We need to learn wisdom, not just in our childhood, but all through our lives. And that's partly why we gather together on a Sunday, isn't it? We gather together to grow in wisdom, individually and corporately, as we hear God's word together. And Solomon so loved this wisdom, at least in his early reign, that he wanted us to understand how precious it is. He knew the value of things. And to him it seemed, from his description, that true wisdom is like a dazzling jewel with all these different facets shining and gleaming. And he wants us to value it as much as he did. Early in Solomon's reign, as a very young king in an uncertain and unstable situation, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. God had made promises to his father David that he would look after his son. And sure enough, he comes to Solomon and he says to Solomon, "Ask me what I shall give you." What a promise. You know, imagine God came to you in a dream at night and said that to you. What would you ask for? What would you choose? Well, as we know famously, Solomon chose wisdom. And God gave Solomon great wisdom. Wisdom which astonished all who met him. Even the splendid Queen of Sheba was overwhelmed by his wisdom. Do you remember? She brought the hardest question she could possibly bring, and Solomon answered them all. She was amazed. "The half of it has not been told me," she said. Together with wisdom, God gave Solomon much beside, but the wisdom came first, and the wisdom was the only way wisely to use all God's good gifts. And where must true wisdom begin for each one of us, with all the benefits of it? And we know it's to be found in Scripture, in the Bible. But how do we begin? How do we begin to know wisdom? Well, that's how our reading ends, and that'll be the third and final point this morning that I want to draw out of this reading in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, says verse 7. Sometimes the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a famous Old Testament saying, and it's very important that we take it to heart. It's the motto which applies to the whole book of Proverbs. We won't understand the book of Proverbs unless we realize that this is the context in which it sits. A right fear of Almighty God. Now, people sometimes shy away from that word fear. It sounds a bit harsh, a bit severe to them. And so they say something like this. Well, when it says fear, it really means respect. Now, I have to say respectfully that they're wrong. The Bible commends respect to us. The Bible tells us we should respect each other. And particularly, we should respect those who deserve our respect, those who have some responsibility from which we benefit. But what about our attitude to the Creator of the universe? How should creatures approach their Creator, the Almighty, all holy, eternal God of heaven and earth? How should a sinner like me approach Him? Well, Jesus told us we should indeed fear Him. Jesus said He has the power and right to send us all to hell, but also the mercy and kindness to offer us salvation. Jesus came not just to warn us, but to rescue us. So it is quite right to say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is. We won't ever be wise without it. But it is not the end of wisdom. It begins there, but it doesn't end there. True wisdom leads on to love and faith and obedience. True wisdom will eventually bring us to eternal joy and peace. And true wisdom is contained in what Christians call the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Jesus. That's why it's such terrible folly to reject it. The second half of verse 7 tells us this: fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's the only alternative to true wisdom. It's either true wisdom or it's actually foolishness. We find that contrast in most of the Proverbs in this book. They set out the wise way and the foolish way. And it's a binary choice. Now, once again, people don't like binary choices very much. They like a kind of spectrum of choices. And so they want to find some wriggle room in between these two. They want something a bit more nuanced. They think Solomon's being a bit too black and white. Maybe you feel like that. Well, then listen to these words of Jesus. Words of Jesus that actually came into that song, the children's song. You may recall those words. They came at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus clearly said to that great crowd gathered at the foot of the mountain, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So Jesus left no wriggle room at all, did he? The choice is the hard and narrow way of true wisdom, and we will be accused of being narrow, or the broad and easy way of rejecting it. They're very different paths, said Jesus, and they're very different destinations. Ironically, those on the easy path often think they're being wise. They think they're living sensibly, like most other people they know. They're like Adam and Eve, like all of us by nature, actually. Adam and Eve, who were told the fruit of the forbidden tree was there to make them wise, who found that when they took it, God's warning was true, and it led to eternal death. And so, as I close, that is the challenge to you and to me. Which path are we on? Which path am I on? Which path are you on here today? Are you on that wise path, that narrow path that leads to life, or the foolish path that leads to destruction? You see, true wisdom, the wisdom set out in the book of Proverbs, is really an issue of life or death. And this book is not just a book full of good advice. It's a book in which King Solomon urged us all to choose life. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your wisdom brought to earth in the person of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to choose that narrow path. Fill us with your Spirit and lead us in the way to eternal life. For your great name's sake, Amen.